keeps it really like RAM on your desk makes it look cool. Oh, that's a good framing shot, Max. The testing thing. The Darth Vader. I can't look at test this thing.
Dude, I like this office.
This is a hot office.
So we're here with Stefan and...
I'm Venkat. I'm a test lead on LiveSearch.
LiveSearch, and exactly what part of LiveSearch do you work on?
I work on the UX for LiveSearch.
UX, for all of you don't know, is user experience, or UI, or... What does that mean? I say UX and UI interchangeably, and I don't know if I'm...
I think X
wrong.
Is experience, is that right?
Yeah, so UI is user interface, user experience, UX. So user interface is what you see, and user experience is basically... What is the experience
the
for the user?
Okay, so UI is a subset of UX then.
Yes.
Okay.
That's the way I see it.
It's good to know because I make it up all the time.
So wait, Venkat, are you on the UX team or the UI team?
We have a single team. We actually call it the core experience team. We don't actually call it the user experience team.
No, so it's just the UX that I've seen all over these offices here that's just, what, trying to trick me?
Yeah. Well, we used to be called the user experience team.
But then
changed our name.
We needed new t-shirts, and therefore it's time to change the group's name, because we ran out of t-shirts. I'm wearing them right now, in fact.
Let's keep it clean.
It's a PG. I can show chest hair at PG. All right, so
Stefan, what are we doing
Well,
here,
what I wanted to do, get over here with the UX folks, because I think that is an area in search that we don't spend enough time talking about. We talk about relevance, we talk about speed, simplicity, multimedia, the preview stuff, all the core SERP, if you will, that we see on those pages. But we don't talk about kind of all the magic that goes on behind the scenes to deliver this experience. And so I was talking to Mira, who's a PM, who's now about to have a baby, I think, so we can't talk to her, so we had to go to Venkat instead.
I'm the second choice.
No, you're first in our hearts.
First in our hearts, baby. And your test, which is your PMs, they lie. Tests, always truthful. So I wanted to go over here and actually figure out how do we think about the UX? How do we think about what changes we're going to make? How do we actually test that? What are some examples that we could show where we maybe didn't do as good a job as we thought we could in the first place?
Oh, there's tons of examples.
Okay. And we don't even have to bring up Microsoft Bomb, because that's, like, too easy, and I actually like that. Okay, so what do you want to talk about today? This is the...
Well, let's start with the homepage.
Okay.
So the homepage...
Wait, record this, certainly. Turn Camtasia on.
Activate!
Camtasia, activate. This is Jing from TechSmith, which is a little company I met down at South by Southwest. They actually make Camtasia and Snagit. Jing's a free app to do screen caps and stuff. It is awesome. But I digress. Swirl on. Go ahead.
Let's talk about the homepage.
Okay.
So when we initially started working on it, we wanted to do the homepage that everybody else has, a clean page that people can come to and just search and do nothing else with it. So the homepage didn't quite look like this when we first started with live.com. So then we got into this idea of, okay, we want to make the homepage a more interactive place. We want people to be engaged with the page. We want them to come back just to see the homepage, not just to search. So we figured, we bat around a number of ideas with, a couple of people sitting here and chatting. So, you have bubbles coming up once in a while and things like that. We thought of it as kind of a room that you come to all the time. And then we settled on this idea of, images. Originally, the images weren't meant to change every day.
They were
meant to change about once a week or so. So we came up with this idea of images, but then we couldn't implement it at one shot. So we implemented this photo frame that we kind of think of as the photo frame. So we implemented that part, and then we released it. We got lots of feedback about it. Not very many positive pieces of feedback, because it actually did not look that good. So once you saw the homepage with a picture in it, in the picture frame, it looked a lot better.
Oh, wait, what did people not like originally when you released it and it was an image and you said it didn't look like this? What did it look like and what did they not like about it?
Sure. So it didn't have the image. We still have...
It's just like a band around the...
So if you go to one of our international markets, you kind of still have that a little bit.
Just hit forward. I think you said just hit forward. It should get you there, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think or you can do that, too. Oh, my God. Or not.
Or not.
Demo fail. I lied.
All right.
You should eat that banana.
That's mine.
It's all I see in press. You're facing the banana.
There it is.
So anyway.
There we go.
So This page is kind of boring, and you know, we have this image in the bottom, kind of takes attention away from people. It's clean.
Yeah.
But with this is actually a little bit better than what we had originally, because the original design didn't have an image inside it, and it also wasn't this clean on the outside. So it was kind of weird. People didn't like it. People didn't like the gray border. One of the pieces of feedback was, why are you centering it in the middle of the page? Why not have it in the full page?
Right.
And people wanted the search box up in the corner or in the top of the page and not in the middle of the page. So all this, this being in the middle of the page and the space on the side, it only works if you have the picture in the middle. Without
Got
the picture
it.
In the middle, it doesn't work that well.
Got it.
So this is what we originally had, and then we went to this piece where, you know, we basically have the picture, and we kind of did a little bit of flare here, just to make it a little bit nicer.
What do you mean flare? Like a little lens flare?
Like office space, you know, you have the flare on your suspenders.
No, wait, what do you mean flare?
So,
really?
I mean this extra thing,
like
the way it seems like it kind of pulls off of the page.
Right.
So
right
a little shadow element to it there,
yeah. It kind of pulls a page. It's very subtle. I've noticed that actually more and more.
So it kind of, ties the page, it gives a page a little bit of a nicer feel.
Yeah. Right.
And more depth. So we have this, and then we came up with the idea of, so the history was the Olympic Games were coming up, and we wanted to do something special for the Olympics. And so that's where the images started appearing on the page. So we said, okay, we're going to do one image a day. And then we said, oh, no, we're going to do two images a day, because we were getting so many good pictures from the Olympics. So we wanted to do two pictures a day. And at the end of the Olympics, so just before the Olympics had started, we had done the picture, and we had one picture per week. So through the Olympics, we had done two pictures a day. And then it felt odd going back to one picture per week.
Right.
So we went to one picture per day.
Who gets these pictures? Where do they come from?
So we actually have a team of three or four people that source these pictures. These are all, a lot of these pictures are from, you know, stock images.
Right.
So we have a certain thinking behind these images.
Mm-hmm.
We want these images to reflect what we think of as our brand identity,
mm-hmm.
at least for now. So, you know, things like we want these images to generate curiosity in people, and we want people to explore these images. So we choose these images with that in mind.
Or in this case, buy oil futures.
So, Mike, let me ask you, though,
mm-hmm.
you know, Flickr, for example, I've seen that they have images on their homepage, and those are user-generated.
Mm-hmm.
You just mentioned that we use stock images. Is there ever a chance that we might consider using, you know, public images from other people?
Now that's a good question. So we have just started. So in fact, I think on the 28th of last month was one of our first user-generated pictures, but it's not really external users. So that image was from an employee of Search.
Oh, cool.
What was that?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and we're going to expand it to all employees of Microsoft pretty soon. So if you're a Microsoft FT, there's an internal website where you can go in.
One of these little bad boys?
Yeah, exactly.
Blue
badge.
Why do you taunt people like that?
Wow, that's exciting. I'm really excited. How do I get involved with that?
So there's an internal website. I don't remember at the top of my head right now. So if you can go there, it's coming soon. You can go in there and you can submit pictures. And this editorial team will basically look at pictures, make sure they match what
right.
we want the pictures to be.
There's certain resolution and everything.
Pictures of Stefan are always good on it. I heard that's the
exactly
always
the
good.
One. Yeah, always Stefan, all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's cool. Let's kind of switch gears a bit and talk mm-hmm. about some features maybe that we have and I think what will be interesting for me and for the people who are watching this is understanding how do you actually roll out a feature? How do you fight a feature? How do you decide whether or not the feature actually works? I mean, do we just kind of foist it on the public and hope to God they like it? I'm assuming not. Or how does that process work?
I hope not. So the one thing that I love about working in Search is the amount of data that we get.
Right.
We get tons of user data, And I've never been in a job before where the feedback is so instantaneous. You know, you do something and you look at data and you say, okay, do users like it? And we measure that by a number of different, variables. We see if, we see the click-through rate, it increases or decreases, or, click-through rate is basically when you search for something and do users click on it.
Sure.
And we look at, user satisfaction, we look at revenue, we look at a ton of other things.
Right.
So for every feature that we do, we flight the feature. And by that I mean that we basically take the feature and we send it to, or send 1%
right.
or 2% or some amount of our traffic to a particular feature.
Experience.
Yeah, feature, right. Right.
Is that random, or how do you decide who gets to see that?
It is random.
Oh, cool.
Because if you kind of start picking people, then your experiment usually isn't very bad. So it is random. And, we experiment quite a bit. We, for example, last release, we have two-month releases already. We release once every 2 months. And for the last release, I think we had like 70 or so experiments that we did. And we average around that number, around 65, 70. Depends on the release, but we average around that. So every release we have a bunch of features. So even if you're working on a single feature, we usually flight three or four different variations of it.
Yeah.
Even here in the homepage.
Oh, it's recording before you do it.
Even here in the homepage, we have these things that we call hotspots, where if you hover over them, we basically show you some data about, kind of try to hook you into a query, and in the process give you enough information or more information. So, again, it goes back to our brand promise of, for explorers, we want people to explore their searcher.
Yeah. No, it's cool. Almost every time I see an image that captures my attention on the homepage,
I'm always in the
I'll hover over the hotspot and see what it's all about.
It's funny, actually. I was just down at a conference and I was talking to a high school teacher who actually starts his morning every morning with this page and actually then hovers over the hotspots and clicks on the queries to help the students kind of explore that particular thing. So it's actually used quite a bit, which is
so people like it.
Yeah,
that is actually good to hear for us.
Yeah.
So, again, we have this text, but even this text, we actually had a couple of flights to see what kind of tone worked better.
Oh, really?
Right? So, if
so too serious didn't come across well versus,
too cheesy.
We tried a couple of different things, and we figured out which one worked better.
Yeah.
And the thing is, once we have figured out something, it's not like it's locked up and we never touch it again.
Right.
We go back and look at it once in a while to see, do we make any changes to what we do or how we do things? So that's just one of the examples.
So talk about the flighting again, because obviously we're getting billions and billions of kind of interactions with this product, over the course of a period of time. So I'm assuming you just don't actually watch the queries come in. I'm assuming we actually have some kind of mining system we use. So I've heard of Cosmos, and that's something I think we use a lot to actually, that's a big, massive supercomputer that we can actually issue jobs against, and it pulls back the results of whatever it is you want to measure. Is that an accurate statement, or has it worked? Or
I just make it up? That is reasonably accurate.
Tell me I'm wrong. It's fine.
I'm not the expert in Cosmos.
Oh, though, so I feel another interview coming on. Cosmos time! Yeah, okay, that's good.
So I can tell you it's a massively parallel distributed computer. So we store tons of data in it, and we can run pretty complex queries and get a lot of information out of it.
Right.
And we usually do have queries running every day that kind of, give us updated results almost every day.
Yeah.
We don't sit there and watch queries come in, and we don't sit there and say, okay, what did this user do, or what did that user do?
I was hoping the answer was no, but...
It's more of an aggregate data. It's basically, for this experience, if we got 100 hits on it, what did those people do?
Did they abandon? Did they dwell? Whatever. Like, what I like is we just rolled this out, I think, recently, is flight stats. Since I fly a lot, I love to actually see my flight stats. And I understand, so here's the new instant answer for flight stats, and now I've got a little graphic there. This is a flight I was actually on yesterday. I got it at 11:38 p.m. on time, I'll have you know. But I know, at least in previous, looking through some more research, folks thought a lot of the instant answers actually were ads, and so they wouldn't even pay attention to them. And so I've noticed now we have this image here, it looks like, which differentiates it from a sponsored link. Was that something you guys kind of drove?
So the image is something that you know, captures user attention.
Right.
But it still doesn't different for users when they see the first two or three ads.
Yeah.
For first two or three results, they kind of associate it with an ad.
Huh.
So not just this instant answer. There's actually a commerce instant answer, which is very useful. I think.
Kind of power shot. Would be
so let me fix the market. We're in the
UK. We're on a 3G card because we are.
Secret stuff. So, you know, we have the commerce answer, which is basically if I search for Zune.
Boom!
I actually do own a Zune. It's
awesome. I own two of them. Yeah. And there we go.
So, when you come in here, this kind of feels very much like an ad. So we've done a lot of work to see how we can make that different from an ad. One of the things we have worked on is different types of titling, different colors, being consistent across different answers. So we've done some work there, and we still have lots of things that we need to explore.
Well, I got an idea. What about just putting a big blinking, like use the old blink tag, saying this is not an ad?
Yeah, we could try that. You know, it's 1% of our users will suffer.
I hope I get the random viewing of that so I can veto that idea. So let's back up a second.
Yeah.
I really like that you were on user interface for a while now, but you say you're the user experience guy beyond that. Tell me about the hotspots in the image. Does that affect the experience in a negative way? Because one of the things I like about search pages is you go there and it loads quickly, and then I do whatever I got to do.
Sure.
But with all these hotspots and images, does that slow down performance, or what does that do to the user?
So that was one of our operating principles. You know, we are a search engine, and at least my philosophy is the search engine is a speed bump, right, to do what you want. You always come to the search engine to look for something. You have a task in mind.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a session-long task. You know, data tells us that a lot of our sessions are very long,
right?
But that still doesn't mean that we want to take more time, right? So I think of searching as a speed bump, right? You come in here, you want to do something, and the faster we can do it for you, the better it is, right?
Sure.
Customers are happier that way.
Yeah.
So when we did this picture in the hotspots, we were very careful to make it a very quick experience.
Right.
So what happens is if you're in a really slow connection, we load the rest of the page first, and users can actually start typing and they can start doing things with the search box. They can start interacting with the page before the image and the hotspots load. So
you can kind of see it here, but if I thought by refreshes, you can kind of, then this card's been cached, that's not what it was the first time. But you can just see it there, basically.
Maybe you can kind of do a Control F5 where loading it up.
Right.
And the main page comes up. And if you're in a slower connection, that becomes more obvious.
Search is priority one. Yeah. Priority two and three, let's say, are image
experience
and
the hotspots. You could actually issue the query. If it's like I was on a slow connection down in Austin because the networks there were a little bit overwhelmed. So actually punching, I could actually fire the query out before it even loaded.
Yeah,
totally
seamless. So, timeout. We have some stuff built in where if we find that it takes a long time to load up the image, we time out and don't load the image. So if you're in a particularly slow connection, you might see that you don't get the image.
The white page, right?
Yeah.
So let's kind of switch gears. I think one thing that you talked about that kind of got me interested was about how people are used to seeing the top few results as ads. And that kind of leads me to some research I was reading from a gentleman up in Canada who does a lot of user experience tracking, eye tracking, whatnot, and they kind of discovered this what they call the golden triangle, if you will, right? Which is this kind of on the upper left of people's eyes go to the upper left hand triangle of the screen when they hit a search results page, and they're very used to seeing or to acting that way when they're hitting search. And so, you know, when I'm out talking to folks and I'm saying, gosh, you know, everyone has to be careful when you're building a search engine because people, when you say search engines, expect it to be a certain way, and their eyes just almost naturally do that. It makes innovation kind of challenging, frankly, from in a U.S. perspective. So how do you guys deal with that?
Slowly and by small changes.
We have to, right?
So we kind of have to do it that way because the search leader has a certain experience right now, and it's very difficult to go in and change it on its head. Because if we do, and there is no switching cost for search, so people come in and, you know, they don't like what they see, they leave and, you know, come back. So we have to be very careful in how we approach it, and which is one of the reasons we flight all the time, right? Whatever change we want to do, we want to, you know, make sure that it actually does what we expect it to do. So again, you know, when we flight, we basically say, okay, this is what we expect the results to be. And then we flight, and then we compare the data that we get with the results we predicted. Because you don't want to flight something, get the data, and then interpret it. You want to predict something and then compare. So we try to do that. And the things that we talk about all the time is, you know, as for a search engine, we want it to be very relevant. We want to simplify key tasks. So we don't think in terms of just a page or a single page view. We think in terms of what is your task. You know, if it's over a particular session, if it is 10 queries in a row, or whatever it is. So we want to simplify that entire task, not just the concept of issuing one
query. And you're out. Because it's funny, we were looking at some research, it was someone else and myself were looking at research, and we were actually looking at people, and a lot of queries are, you know, like navigational queries are one and out, basically. They do a query, they have to look at a single result page, and then they actually click on a query and they're out. But for a lot of the queries, like half the queries were seen to both the transactional and the informational types of queries, so looking for Barack Obama's healthcare plan, or I want to download the driver for my Canon camera, whatever it might be, they're actually really long. They're like six-page queries, or six-page views, cert page views per session, and almost 10 minutes per session, and huge, long numbers that were pretty shocking to us, frankly.
And so, so the thing that we talk about all the time with, you know, the number of, or the minutes per session being very long, or whatever, so the reason for that is, we do get 30% of our queries are navigational queries,
but
the amount of time spent on it is very small. So
and that just for folks in the camera, navigational is I'm looking for the UPS site, or I'm looking for the Facebook site, or those types of things, right?
It doesn't necessarily have to be the home page of something.
See, this is real time.
So it doesn't have to be, you know, the home page of something. For example, if I'm looking for Seattle traffic, that's a navigational query, but it's not going to the home page of some site. So the navigational query can be in a number of different categories.
Well, all right, anything else we're talking about? So that's, we've covered the home page, we've covered kind of how we do flighting, we've covered the golden triangle dilemma that we all suffer from, or all live within, I should say. No one's suffering. We're all delighted to be here. And kind of this how we are thinking about the UX with respect to handling the tasks which people are doing on the web today. So we're going to come back to you as we get a little closer, or a little further down the path of development. I know some stuff that we've got in the works here. It's pretty cool. I think we're...
Can't tell us what's coming. Anything in the future?
No.
Well, a new release.
New stuff. Come on, man. Give me something.
Don't fall for Max's charm. Many folks have fallen for his charm only to be working, you know...
Somewhere else.
On the carpet laying crew, which is a good job, too.
Yeah. All right. Cool. You know, we have a ton of new stuff coming, and it's... you know, built on all the stuff that we have learned in the last 4 or 5 years. So it's for us, in one way, it's a culmination of a lot of the stuff that we have learned.
And we're always kind of adding features this is really another, you know, set of features being added that really address the pain points that we see. So great. All right, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you,
Stefan. Out, Venka, you can do your out as well if you want to. You want to do some kind of...
Well, I'm not used to doing the out, but go to live.com, try it out. Give us feedback.
He's a better PR guy than I am.